Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Tough times. Some of you may see storm clouds on the horizon, and some of you may be in the middle of a tough time right now. You've come through tough times to graduate from high school, and parents, you've come through some tough times to raise your children. But mainly high schoolers, seniors, you've done a good job raising your parents through the tough times. The sense of knowing that the times are tough is that God is tender and tougher than our times. The power of our having a confidence in God is that God gives us confidence by which to live our lives where we are. We have statements around this. We have phrases. When the going gets tough, the tough, yeah. We save for rainy days. We prepare for the worst, but we work towards the best. Every football team has a two-minute drill. And the two-minute drill is for a come-from-behind victory at the end of the game. There are exit signs at each of our door entrances in case there's an emergency. In school, you have fire drills to prepare for a time, not to teach you fear about fire or what could happen, but no, there's a plan. There's a path that you can take to get through that emergency. The PGA Championship tournament this weekend, every one of the golfers, the best in the world, will have at least one sand wedge in their golf bag, expecting to be in either the rough or a sand trap, and they have prepared those shots. Knowing that tough times come means that we don't have to be startled when they arrive. And as we live each day of our life, God actually prepares us for what's ahead. Tough times define how we respond to them. They are our definition by the response that we give. 9/11 happened the year that you were born, high school seniors. We prayed that God would have a future within our world and a future by a generation to be born to help lead into the future, because the world was filled with fear at 9/11. And a lot of that fear is still rampant today. But your being in the world is a sign of our having prayed for you and praying with you during the course of your life. And so for us as a congregation, you have an insert in your with your bulletin. And my challenge to you as your pastor is that this summer, you will keep that bulletin insert and you will pray for our high school seniors through the course of this summer and preparing for the fall. And so that they too will know that their church is praying for them in this key transition. The rest of us can remember when, how excited and nervous it is to go through this stage of life. And so God's comfort is provided by his providence. The comfort of God's providence gives us the assurance that his character is made for the transitions in our life. And graduation means it's a good transition. Means accomplishments have been fulfilled and a momentum is made for the future. Peter put it another way, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. It's the very nature of God. That's what David, the shepherd king, known as the great king of Israel, wrote about what he understood of God and how he could know his place in life in light of who God is. So in Psalm 27, our psalm for the day, he wrote this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" 365 times in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the phrase of the word is used, "Fear not, don't be afraid." Now, why is that? Because fear is a natural human response to feeling threatened. Threatened physically, threatened emotionally, threatened mentally, threatened financially, threatened in your position, your esteem, just feeling threatened. Something important to you feels threatened, and fear is a response that you're under a challenge. But once fear has notified us that a challenge is there, then the fear is to be turned into faith, and to faith into faithfulness, because that's who God is. 365 times. You think we would have gotten the first time, or gotten the message the second time. That means God is saying we can be slow as human beings to really trust him during these difficult periods. And so it's one of those threads that takes us through the Bible. Fear not, be not dismayed, for I am your Lord. Don't be discouraged by the events of your life, because know I uphold you in the right hand of my righteousness, is how the prophet Isaiah put it. And how do we step into this, where it is the kind of a fear that turns into faith, and the faith into faithfulness, knowing that our responses to tough times define who we are? Or three things we can do. First, we can apply. We can apply the truth with faith to know God's action and response. It helps us to know that God has the character and the capacity to guide us through the tough times of our life, where it helps us to know that He doesn't abandon us, one of the worst fears we have as human beings. But we only get the power of it as we're willing to apply the truth within our life. And so the second and third verses of Psalm 27 speak to that directly. Because it's true that the Lord is our light, we can see through Him, our salvation. He, like Caleb from the baptistry, like our high school seniors, have come into a testimony of their faith in Jesus Christ. We know that salvation is real, and therefore we will not be overwhelmed by fear because we've been covered by His grace. Now let's put it to test in the real world, all right? I'm going to read the non-underlined print, and you read the underlined print the best that you can see it, okay? This is what David wrote. Now, when the wicked advance against me to devour me, though an army besiege me, the war break out against me. So the opposition has come, the enemy is under the way, thinking that they have the advantage, only to know that God's response is bigger than what the challenge is. That God's not intimidated. You take the worst fear of all of death, and He dealt that bully death, the death blow, by the resurrection of Christ from the grave. When Kayla went underneath the water, you did notice that I brought her out of the water, right? She's raised to walk in the newness of life. That's the sign of the resurrection of Christ. And if God handles death, He can handle life. Because He handles death by this renewal of life, and David had plenty of enemies, plenty of tough times in his life, and he knew that if he applied the truth, that he would experience the action of God's response. All right. Here's a test case. This would be the easiest thing I ask you to do this week. Okay. Next time you have your dessert, maybe a chocolate cake, are you going to have to tell yourself, ooh, I'm going to put this chocolate cake in my mouth, I'm going to take a big bite of this chocolate cake, and remind yourself that you have to enjoy the chocolate cake? Do you have to tell yourself that? No. That chocolate cake is made for you to enjoy. It was baked for you to enjoy, and you're just naturally going to enjoy it. But first you had to put the bite into your mouth, right? Once you have stepped into this promise of God's character, God will work His presence in your life and grow the response from your life. It is the matter of first trusting Him and applying and leaning into the Word. Second is to pursue. Pursue the one to right focus everything and everyone else. We have phrases given today. It's to kind of right size the job description. We're going to downsize our home. We have to right size the questions to get the right answers. Right sizing is a description of getting it to fit right. But when we're looking to the Lord as the one, everything else and everyone else comes into view in light of Him. In the midst of our worship and our sanctuary, we have the resurrected Christ Jesus speaking to us from the stained glass window in the symbol of art to communicate what is true in faith, is that He has overcome and He speaks into whatever that tough time is that we're in the midst of in our life. But it requires for us first to see Him before we see the problem. Because if we only see the problem is the only thing we're going to see. But when we are looking at the presence of Christ, He gives us the courage, the bravery, then to see the problem in light of Him that will give us the resources to be able to respond to what that problem is. One of you were kind enough to share with me and give me permission to use this. is that as she is reading through the Psalms, and one of the people who's reading five Psalms a day, as we move through our message series on the Psalms, that every time the word enemy shows up in the Psalms, which is frequently, she will insert the word insecurity. That by putting in her own personal challenge into that word, she then knows that God is speaking to that insecurity in her life. And that we can feel anxious each day in our life, and that daily we have to give that anxious insecurity into God's presence and to know that He's got this. I was talking to a lady whose husband just died suddenly, and her response was, I know God's got this. I don't like it. I don't want it. But I know that in Him, I too can have the strength to do what I need to do as I move forward. We put out kind of the core of my message in social media on Fridays before the Sunday of the message. And so this was placed out on the social media on Friday. Got a word from one of our business people who responded late Friday night with an email saying, I just want you to know of how this message has already helped me. Been a really tough day at work. Stuff that was going on that shouldn't have happened, but it happened. We're responding to it. And after all of that tough time, then I read your response about trusting God in tough times. And that's exactly what I needed to be reminded of. It comes to all of us, and therefore God speaks about His very character to respond. So this one thing I ask from the Lord, the one thing that I seek, that I may be able to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to see Him in His temple. We're not asking you to be in the sanctuary 365 days a year, 24/7. Because we want to be out there into the world, helping to be God's light shining in the world. We need you as our high school seniors moving into the world to be the light of God shining into a dark world. And to do so with that happy joy that's contagious, that God wins and we may trust His victory being at work within our life. But by being in the sanctuary and worshiping, by taking in the scriptures and prayer and the song and the testimonies and the encouragement of this family of God, and then be able to see the sight of God every moment of every day, to be able to see that it's His victory by His presence who comes. Jesus put it a different way, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. Ask, and that will take you to your seeking. You'll be able to find, and you'll be able to knock. By pursuing the one thing, then you'll be able to find all His answers for everything else. A couple of weeks ago, I got with some friends onto one of our city buses and noticed that one of the chairs on the buses was dedicated to the memory of Rosa Parks. Took this photograph, and it was a sign of Rosa Parks, who was just a salt of the earth, average person living in the South in the early days of the civil rights movement, a passionate believer in Jesus Christ, who then stepped forward to say that her worth in Christ is not more than anyone else, but not less. And therefore, she wouldn't just move to the back of the bus. She would sit in the front of the bus with all the other white people, and she was black. And in honor of that, then there's a chair on the bus just reminding about how an average person makes an extraordinary difference with courage and faith. Rosa Parks said, Lord, my feet is tired, but my soul is rested. The sense of knowing that the Lord truly is our light and our salvation gives us that inner calm to be at our best during the most toughest times in life. And then verses 13 and 14 wrap it up with hope. Hope with confidence to be steadfast, courageous, and strong. Now, we can't say, oh, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, and expect you not to be afraid. If anything, that can cause us to freak out all the more. But to be able to say, one, you can apply the truth of who God is, trust it. He will give the response to the challenge in your life. Two, that you can pursue Him, really see Him in the midst of the challenge, and then He will give you that strength. He will give you that inner confidence. He will give you the steadfastness as you then apply it in that difficult situation. To be able to speak the truth when lies are being spoken. To be able to stand for right when wrong is prevailing. to be able to be generous when others are stingy, to be loving when hate is filling up the agenda. The sense of simply acting differently in these profound, simple ways makes God's kind of difference in our life and in our workplace. And so he wrote, "I remain confident and I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. Being confident in him gives us confidence. The Apostle Paul put it this way, "But be confident and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you and has God begun a great work in you." Be confident and sure of this very thing, of this good work he has begun in you. And he will continue it right up into the time of the return of Christ that Jacob emphasized for us in one of the stanzas that we sang in our hymn. We are under God's timing and his ways to be able to live our life and moving forward with our life. The compassion of God's providence. Because providence means that God provides. He'll attend to. He'll assist us. He'll be with us. He'll give us his comfort and counsel, his very presence to abide. And at times, he abides by our presence with each other. Our high school seniors are aware and knowing they didn't get to their accomplishments all on their own, but they needed their family and needed their friends and leaned into that. And part of the season of life is they're saying thank you, and that just means an awareness. When we're here together as the family of God, we're saying in the awareness of God, thank you that you are with us. Thank you for the week that we've lived. Thank you that I can trust in you for the week that's ahead. And Lord, stir within me a bravery beyond my own courage, a love beyond my own natural capacity, so that you may be reflected in the course of my life as I live this week, which is in front of me. And God says, let's go for it. It's action time for us to be able to do this. Whenever you read the word wait in the Old Testament in Hebrew, you can always insert the word hope. It's hope in the Lord as we wait in the Lord. As we hope in the Lord, that's the active preparation of his presence at work within our life. And so as we begin our days, it's hoping in the Lord for the day that we're about to live. As we're hoping in the Lord from this graduation into the future, it's knowing that he is preparing your steps for what is ahead of you. And so it was in 9/11, when you were born. We prayed for a future, and we prayed for God to raise up a generation who would help to lead in the cause of this freedom and faith. And for you and for us together, we are part of how God wants to provide his providence of care and compassion into our world, to keep our eyes on him by which we may see everything else. That requires a commitment. And the commitment comes in a response called an invitation. To say, just like Kayla did, with a lot of courage, Lord, I give my life to you, and I will follow you forever. To let this be the day in the Lord in which you write your future by trusting your life in eternity with Jesus. It can be this day in your life to trust your life in a membership with people called church membership, togetherness, that we have skin in the game. We join in together. That's what our membership is, to say, and come, I'm ready to be a part of what God is doing in this Trinity family, or for us just to pray together. So I'm going to ask Ethan on one side and Judd on the other side. If you'd like for someone to pray with you, they'll be here to be able to pray with you, and I'll be here to receive your decisions. Let's stand together and sing.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.